you, Jason. All right, let's head over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 16 through 25. We're not going to cover all of those tonight, but I think it's important to get the context of the passage here. And you will notice that I have skipped, I have ended before 26, because I think 26 kind of goes with the next section. But we'll get to that later. We're not going to be on that tonight. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and it says there, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." That's a good passage, isn't it? It's very important. And I trust that you will be able to come into this passage here tonight without just hearing it for the 70,000th time and say, "Oh, I already know this." Let's come into this fresh and try to understand what God's telling us here tonight. So I titled this Truly Living, and it will be part one because we're only going to be handling verses 16 through 18 here tonight. Truly Living. What is truly living? I mean, if you were to ask somebody on the street, I mean, what would they say is the good life? What would they say would cause meaning to their life? What do they say that would cause them to lay down on their pillow at night and say, "Yes, I lived the life today"? I mean, is something rolling through your mind at this point? Is something happening? Some of you might think grandkids. You know, if I could have my grandkids for at least 3 hours, not much more than that, because then the candy starts taking effect, and we don't want that. You know, maybe that's what comes in your mind. Maybe some of you, it's mowing your grass. I don't know. Does anybody like mowing their grass in here? I love mowing my grass. I do. It gets that time to just think, right? Some of you put other things in your ears while you're mowing your grass, but then sometimes it's just thinking about what's going on in the podcast that you're listening to. Maybe some of you just love driving. I don't understand that. I used to like driving when I first got my license, but anything, you know, past 15 minutes, I don't enjoy much anymore. I don't know about you, but I get tired after, you know, a while. But some of you like, you know, to drive. I imagine Rick Kaiser says, "Yeah, I could drive all day long. It's no sweat." Some of us, I mean, when we are asked that question, what is truly living? But when you go in the spiritual side of things, you know, what is truly living in a holy way, the God way? When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, what do you think about in the sense of, did I make this day, did I do something in this day that glorified God and I felt it was successful? I felt like that was the life. This is worth it. And I might go through some crazy stuff, but yet this is still worth it. This is the life. Have you ever been in those moments? That's kind of what I want to talk about here tonight. And as we jump into this, what is truly living? I want to jump into point number one, base truth. Here's the base truth here in verse 16. This is what you need to know. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the starting point. This is the baseline. This is a foundational truth that if you want to live a life of holy living, okay, then you're going to make sure, and did you hone in on this statement? Because it says an either or. You're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, there's two gods, if you want to say, and hear the rest of the statement, okay? There's two gods that seem to reign in our life, isn't there? There's the true God, the one who's the creator of the heavens and the earth, who gave me life, who offered salvation. And then don't we kind of put ourselves up high on a pedestal sometimes? A lot of times. Isn't that the thing that we battle with the most? I mean, this is the baseline. If you are walking in the Spirit, if you are living a holy life, you're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, let's define the terms. Now, there's some terms in here that we don't normally use unless we are reading the KJV, okay? So as you get into this, what do some of these words mean? Walk. Walk is to live in a specified manner. So it's not just that you're walking down the road. This only applies if I get my Fitbit on and I start taking a walk down the sidewalk and saying hello to all the neighbors. I take my dog along with me, whatever that means. This goes into I am living in a specific manner. And when I walk, this is a present active imperative. For most of you, you don't care about that. But for some of you that do, I am presently continuously walking. That is the manner of my life. When I stop walking, that usually means there's no more breath. Yes, we are dead. It's done. Our walk is gone, okay? And then we need to talk to Brenda, okay? So that's what's going on. And when I walk, it should imply progress, correct? I need to go somewhere. When I walk, I want to get somewhere. I think of it in the driving. If I'm going to drive, I usually want to get somewhere. And hopefully that's not lost. Okay? I want to progress. I want to live in a way that is running towards, walking towards, moving towards a destination that's right. Now, can I ask a question? What's our destination? Heaven? Hebrews chapter 12. What does it say? What's our finish line? Ah, I caught you off spot. You're just getting up from your nap, your afternoon nap, all right? Looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. I say that a ton on Sunday night. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I have to say that to myself every single day. I have to look to the author and finisher of my faith, which is Jesus Christ. And where's he at? Heaven. Larry, you got it right. There you go. He's in heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. I want to live in a manner that I am anticipating heaven, meeting my Jesus. How many of you are going to go on vacation this summer? Anybody? How many of you want to go on vacation this summer, okay? All right? We'll just ban COVID, okay? All right? Go sit in your timeout over there, all right? You want to go on vacation. What happens the night before? Usually the guy is sitting down watching something on television, okay? He's relaxed. He hasn't packed a single thing yet, right? Okay? And if you're in my family, the wife is going, right? And there is a focus, okay? Don't eat until that bag is packed. There is a specific destination in mind. Why? Because she wants to go. She doesn't want to hang around. And I'm like, oh man, I've been working all day. I just want to sit down. Come on, let me rest. Any guys like that? Do you have the same mindset? Okay, I'm not the only one. I'm not the crazy one, okay? We're all crazy together. Yes, okay. And so you have a specific goal. You want progress. Now anybody go on long trips and you decide, hey, let's just take the scenic route. Yeah, we've talked about that before, okay? Not intentionally. You want to get there. I just told you about driving. I'm not that big on driving anymore. I'm not. And so I want to beat my time. I do. Any other guys like that, okay? Now, I do it in the correct manner, okay? Don't ask my wife. I do it in the correct manner. But I don't want 17 potty breaks along the way. Okay? I just want to get there because I don't want to fall asleep while I'm on the road. I want progress. What are you doing to make sure that you get there? Are you taking chamomile tea? Okay? Are you trying to relax in the moment and as you're trying to drive? No! Espresso is usually the way you need to go in those moments, okay? You go over to LP, you get a tornado, and you're good. Let's go. Let's get there. I have a destination. I am motivated. Everything is built off of that. You getting what I'm saying? My walk is built off of Jesus. And you know who's going to help me the best way possible? The one who was sent to, can I say this? I don't mean this in a bad way, to replace him. I'm not trying to present a modal thing for the Trinity, so don't go there, and most of you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm not talking about they're in modes and you turn off Jesus and you turn on the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not talking about that, but in the sense of the Holy Spirit coming in, sent to take his place, what? Within the Christian. So if we're walking in a specific manner, trying to reach the finish line, anticipating that goal, not trying to rush the process. Listen, some think, well, I might as well just take my life and I'll be there right now. No. That's not the way God intended it. We want to walk with that anticipation, but use every moment that we have in that anticipation of glory. Right? By the way, this is for Christians. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you have the Spirit within you. And the only time that happens is if you get saved. And when you do get saved, you know the interesting thing? He doesn't come and go. He resides within you. I don't all of a sudden get all hipped up and start doing cartwheels because the Holy Spirit arrived. He's already there. What was he doing when I wasn't doing cartwheels, right? And in this moment, when the Holy Spirit is within us and walking in that anticipation, we are looking forward. You know, walking in the Spirit, there was a quote that I found. Holy living does not come from our performance for God, but from his performance through us by his own Spirit. Do you get that? Do you get that? I really want you to get that. I'm going to say it again. Holy living does not come from our performance for God, but from his performance through us by his own Spirit. If it was my performance, I'd be gratifying the flesh, wouldn't I? Because then all of a sudden my pride, woo, Taylor's got it together. No, he does not, folks. The Holy Spirit has it together. And so when we come in here, we want to have dependence, constant dependence, submission to God, allowing him to overflow us, not us trying to fill up our own cup, but allowing him to fill us up so that we may overflow and have an effect on others, right? What are some of the other definitions? Fulfill. Fulfill is to satisfy, conceived of as if bringing something to completion without defect, or blemish. So he wants us to walk in the Spirit. So if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in that sense of fulfilling, it's bringing something, it's a satisfaction, it's bringing something to completion without any mess ups in it. I mean, it's absolute perfection. You don't want any dents in the product. You don't want any off-centeredness. You want this perfect. You say, what are we fulfilling? The lusts. If we're not walking in the Spirit, that's when we fulfill. We bring to satisfaction, we bring to perfection without blemish our lust, which is our evil cravings. And in inordinate, it's up on the screen here. Can you shoot forward in that? Our lust, evil craving, an inordinate self-indulgent craving, in parentheses there, that displaces the proper affections. Proper affections towards what? God. My lust, when I am bringing to fulfillment, when I am allowing my evil cravings to come in full perfection without any blemish, spot, wrinkle, whatever, I am allowing that to happen. I'm coming, letting that come forth as the fruit of my desires here, okay? When that's happening, that's the opposite of actually walking in the Spirit. And again, the flesh. What's the flesh? It's our sinful humanity. It's not, and this was confusion for some. This is confusion because there was some that have believed in all different types of religions that when you're talking about the flesh, we're actually talking about this stuff that we have right here. You know, that stuff that you can pinch and pull and you hurt and you bump and scrape it. That's not what it's talking about, because sometimes people will say, well, whatever I do in my human body, that's sinful. I believe that comes from Gnosticism. Anything that I do in this body is just sin, and whatever happens, happens, right? And that's part of that different belief system. That's not what we're talking about. It's the flesh, and that it's the sinful humanity, often understood as the seat of sin and rebellion to God. So, walking in the Spirit, constant progression, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, anticipating glory, dependence, to wanting to bring to fruition my sinful desires that are in rebellion to God. It's an either or. You cannot be buddy-buddy with both sides. It doesn't work. That's not how Scripture plays it. It's not how Scripture... You can't have secret sin that you're giving into consistently and actually be walking in the Spirit. It doesn't work like that. And so here he is. He's coming from this baseline that we must understand before we move on. And this must be a baseline for every single day. Not just today. But I think we would start with today. Right now, we need to make a decision that this is going to be a truth that we are going to springboard off of for today, for tonight. Say, well, there's not much time left in the day. Listen, there's plenty of time that we can give over into the lusts and fulfill the lusts of our flesh, isn't there? There's plenty of time. In fact, we've got a whole lot of night left in this day. And that's often when we're most prone to sin. Why? Because in darkness, we think we can hide it a whole lot better, can't we? Nobody's watching. Have you ever gone angry to bed? It's tough, isn't it? Have you ever been perturbed? Have you ever been just... Oh, you can't go to sleep. Man, what's going on with these people? You know what that is? It's giving into the flesh. You might feel justified because somebody told you that you might be justified. And yet, that's giving into my pride. How dare these people? And yet, how many times have I done the same exact thing? There's all kinds of things that we could talk about in this moment, but yet this is the baseline that we need to start from. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you can't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's an either or. So as we go into point number 2 in verse 17, I titled this, "Keep from stifling your true desires." Now, if you actually look at the word stifle, it's like suffocating, okay? It's like there's a, if I remember correctly, it's like a heat so bad that it's like suffocating you, taking your breath away. Have you ever stepped out into the heat before and you just lost your breath? Sometimes it does that during the winter. You walk out and then everything freezes inside. You don't know how to breathe, all right? And it takes your breath and you have to get an extra breath. You have to be intentional about it. I mean, this is like a stifling. It's a suffocation of your true desires. You say, well, my true desires, what are you trying to define here? Well, as you get into this verse, let's go into verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So their desires are against one another. Their appetites are totally different. Do you have different family members that have different, totally different appetites? Okay? I mean, when they walk into a restaurant, some of you go into a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, and order chicken nuggets, right? Like my kids. Give me the street tacos. Man, those are good. Some of you like that horrific hot stuff. I mean, I'd rather enjoy my food, folks, all right? You try to give me some hot stuff, whoop, my appetite is lost for that. I don't want to, there's no enjoyment. I don't understand. Some of you get that Tabasco sauce and you have it in your pocket at all times. You just pull it out. Hey, I've got to add that to my milk or something. I don't know what you add it to everything. I mean, does Jerry have it? Are you pulling it out? No. I mean, there's some of you, I guarantee, you have a little mini jar that you take along with you, okay? Or you have a hot sauce that you take along. You collect all the Taco Bell hot sauces that they give you. They give you like 15,000 of them for 3 tacos. So you keep them in your car, and you got to put it on everything, on your eggs, on your cheeseburger, whatever that might be. Listen, we all have different appetites. Isn't that gross? Hot stuff. That's gross, all right? Now, you give me a nice, juicy burger any day. That's good stuff, isn't it? Are you getting hungry yet? Okay. A nice, juicy burger. What am I trying to illustrate for you? Listen, the Holy Spirit has desires that are totally different than your flesh. They war against each other. They are totally different. It's like your two children that come to the dinner table, and you've made a certain meal, and they come in and, what? Where's the mac and cheese? Or maybe that's your husband. I don't know. Totally different appetites. Then it goes on to the end of that verse and it says, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Ye cannot do the things that you would. Now, folks, I mean, let's just think of it this way. You have things that you want to do because the Holy Spirit's pushing you to do things, right? You have things that you desire. Holy Spirit's pushing that. Then when you give precedence, when you give airtime, when you give anything over to the flesh, all of a sudden your potential for allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you and actually walking in the Spirit is starting to diminish for the day. Let's just talk about a day. When we give airtime to our flesh, in a moment in our day, all of a sudden the potential of that day takes away from that there's a potential for walking in the Spirit, but we're taking away because we're checking it out. We're spending some time with it. We're listening. We're throwing some emotions at this fleshly issue in our mind. We're allowing ourselves to take over and say, "No, I think I got a handle on this. Holy Spirit, take a back seat. Let me take driving position." Or have you ever tried to be the back seat driver for God? "Hey God, turn on your turning signal, please. God, you did not stop like you should have there. God, green light. God, that was a yield sign." How many times have we stepped in? How many times have we given over to the flesh and we've taken away from that potential to walk in the Spirit? You know what this reminds me of in the waging war that's going on within Paul and what he's talking about? In Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, should be up on the screen. "For that which I do," this is one of those confusing verses that you have to read about 17 times, all right? "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Now, what he's stating is that there's some things that I'd like to do, but I don't do it. And what I hate, I actually do. So have you ever had a desire to walk in the Spirit for a full day? "So I'm just going to take today, and this is going to be my first day, God. I am..." How did you say it? "I am rededicating my life to you today. It's happening right now. I am rededicating my life to you." How many times we try? We have that desire. And yet something looks so tempting, doesn't it? We had a college rep here today. And it reminded me of college in the sense of, you know, they give you the syllabus at the beginning of the semester. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's your instruction manual for the rest of the semester for your class. They're telling you what they expect out of you. Here's all the assignments that you need to do. Here's how many times you need to read Deuteronomy, okay? And you need to get this done. You know what most students do? They put that in a folder somewhere and forget about it, okay? All right, anybody been in college before and done that? And then all of a sudden, the week of the final paper comes due. I don't think Rusty's ever done this, right? "I gotta get this done." You know what's happened since the beginning of the semester and to that week? "You know, we've had desires to go and get my paper done. I gotta go get it done. I gotta go memorize some Greek vocab. I gotta go read Deuteronomy 17 times. Yes, we would have to do that. I had one class I had to read a book of the Bible like 25 times. Okay, this is just one class. And you think, oh, you know, I could just listen to it, multiply that, you know, speed it up, you know. Times two, and it'll get done really fast. And I'll just sit back and relax and listen to Colossians being read to me for 25 times, right? And you know what happens when you do that? You start snoozing, okay? And then all of a sudden, man, I had a job in college, so you'd get tired when you're up till 1 o'clock in the morning cleaning toilets, and you just get worn out and say, "Oh, man, I just feel like an afternoon nap, okay? I'm just 20 minutes, just 20 minutes, okay? It's no biggie, just 20 minutes." It doesn't turn into 20 minutes. It turns into 3 hours, and all of a sudden you skip supper. And then you're hungry, so then you got to go to town and get some Mickey D's, all right? Or find some ramen in your roommate's drawer, okay? All right, that you get desperate and you start searching, and then all of a sudden, due date comes, and you had all these desires to complete it ahead of time, and yet Didn't happen. How many desires do we have in the Christian life to live a holy life? And yet there's so many temptations for those naps, aren't there? That was like a metaphor, okay? If you struggle with naps, I mean, that's on you. That was just an illustration, a metaphor, all right? That's something that we struggle with. We have this constant battle that we wage every day when we give time, effort, finances, emotions over to our flesh. And the ground is given away to our flesh. Okay? You say, well, what's the difference between our flesh and the Holy Spirit? You know that in the next passage, it actually, and we're going to get to that the next week, but it actually states that the works of the flesh are evident. If you'll do the work, if you use your discerning mind that God gives you, if you search the scriptures, if you pray and seek his face, you will know whether it's of the Holy Spirit or whether it's of your flesh. You will know. We struggle through this all the time. Every single one of us. And you know, we get to this point where we feel like, oh, I just got to fix it. I've got to fix my life. So since I'm battling with the flesh all the time, I need to apply something to myself that will keep me from appeasing the flesh. And that's where we get into the third point. By all means, don't look to the law. So what are you talking about? In verse 18 it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. See, I thought the law was good. I thought God gave it. Yes, we've talked about that. But yet when that becomes in our mind, our Savior and our Sanctifier, we have messed up. Jesus is our Savior. We are progressively sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit. So if we are submitting and being led by the Holy Spirit, we are not going to place ourselves under the law. When he says, look and live, my brother, live. He doesn't say, apply the law, apply the slavery of the law, the bondage on top of you to weigh you down, to conform yourself into the image of Christ. He says, look to Jesus now and live, doesn't he? Do you remember that song we sang it just a couple weeks ago? Look to Jesus now and live. If you are led by the Holy Spirit, you are not going to put on the chains of the law. See, that's our temptation. We like to fix ourselves. That's like when Eve was confronted by Satan. I just read it for the junior class in Sunday school today. The rule was, don't eat the fruit. Don't eat the fruit. And when Satan questioned her, what did she say? Don't eat. Don't touch. Lest you die. Do you know that rule that she just added onto what God told her to do didn't save her? Did you notice that? Listen, parents, the more rules that I apply to my children doesn't save them. The more rules that I apply to the teenagers back in the back, I could make sure that their shorts are to the centimeter around their kneecap to make sure. What am I missing? Well, you need to have a belt on in order to be spiritual. And adding all these rules on top of them to conform them into the image of what? Whatever I deem it to be. And then all of a sudden, I think that these rules are going to make these teens spiritual. All of a sudden, man, they start looking good. They come in, woo, they got it all spiffy, they got it together. They are conforming to every single rule that I put on. Do you know what I've missed? The Holy Spirit. Do you know there are rules? There are rules that we put in our homes. I have rules for my kids, but I cannot expect those rules to make them like Jesus. I can't. Those rules will point to an authority structure that God has placed that they must submit to so that they can understand what submitting to authority is so that they can submit to God, right? Okay? That is not making them spiritual because they did all the rules, because guess what? The moment that they step out of my house, I found out how unspiritual they are. See, if we all of a sudden, well, if I do my devos an hour a day, I'm going to be spiritual. And if I go out and knock on 1,000 doors a week, I'm going to be spiritual. And all of a sudden, I'm applying all these things, and I'm putting this burden on myself that all of a sudden I'm looking to the law rather than to Jesus now and live. I'm looking to the law to appease the flesh, and all of a sudden I did 1,000 doors this week. And then I forget the Holy Spirit that I needed to submit to and that he's working within me and working out the fruits of the Spirit, right? Does this make sense, folks? I mean, this is the baseline of, okay, if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you are walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of flesh. But how do you keep from fulfilling the lust of the flesh? You don't enslave yourself to the law. You submit. You submit to the Holy Spirit and his direction. You allow the Word of God to work out in your life. You know why we keep saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible? Because that's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? Okay? And we want an easy fix out of it, so if I can apply some rules, then I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to meditate. Maybe if I apply some rules, I can read the Bible, but I don't have to pay attention. Have you ever been there? We've got to go to church tonight. And it went, whew. Well, I did my duty. I think we've all been there, folks, haven't we? We haven't looked to Jesus now and live. I mean, we're not depending on the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is a battle that we face. And there is a part two to this truly living. If we want to truly live, we're not going to submit ourselves into the slavery of the law. We're going to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's indwelling of me, because he knows what's best for me, because his desires is what God desires, because he is God. That's truly living. That's when I can lay my head down on the pillow at night and say, you know what? Today was a crazy day. Have you ever had those days? Today was beyond me. Today I could not conform. Today I could not fulfill every single rule that I could place on myself because I fall short. I'm just inadequate. But you know what? I'm so thankful that God, through the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in me to help me through it. And God, I'm just glad that I gave it over to you, knowing that I could not do this. God, you've got this. God, I just want to seek your face. Have you ever just laid those prayers out at night? God, I'm lost. I feel lost. I feel lost. I feel entrapped. I feel like I'm in a pit. I feel. God, I just got to give this over to you. That's the kind of life I want to live. I don't have it all together, but I don't have to. I just need to seek Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what you presented. And there's a lot in this passage. It just seems like there's so much that I can study, and yet trying to present everything is absolutely impossible. But God, you know exactly what was stated. Use it for your honor and glory here tonight. And may it not be my opinions, but your truth on display. God, just help us through this, our battle every single day, every single moment, to say no to the flesh and say yes to you, to live dependent on the Holy Spirit, who's supposed to guide us into all truth, who's supposed to convict us of that sin, who's supposed to comfort us. God, just help us to depend. Help us to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, you're an amazing God. I love you. I know that you've got it all together, so I don't have to. In Jesus' name, amen.